He saves the best for last. And in these two chapters, he closes. He closes with two lessons about service and ministry. And in the Greek, these two words literally mean the same. If you want to follow with me, I'm going to just highlight some verses here. Chapter 15 and verse 8 in Romans, Jesus was a servant. Verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus. Verse 25, I'm on my way to Jerusalem and in the service. Verse 27, their duty is to minister. Verse 31, my service in Jerusalem. In chapter 16 and verse 1, Phoebe, a servant. So what's the theme here? What is the theme if you take all that? Ministry, ministry, ministry. Service, service, service. Believe it or not, David Roper said there is no such thing as an inactive church member. It is impossible to be an inactive church member. You're either building up or you're tearing down. But either way, you're active, right? You're still active. In the scripture that Philip read, Matthew 12 and 30, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. Now watch this last part. In the same scripture. And he who does not gather with me scatters. You can't sit on the fence, folks. There's no neutral here. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. If you're not building up, you are tearing down. Every member of this church, every member of any church of Christ in this whole world, if they're not gathering, they're scattering. So tonight, Paul lays us out six different things, six different areas of what I want to call the ministry. And I want us to look at those. And it's going to involve in two chapters here. But the first one is the ministry of encouragement. The ministry of encouragement. Read with me the first seven verses of Romans chapter 15. Verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not place himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We'll pause right there. What's going on in our society today? They want to erase history, don't they? What did Paul just say? For everything that was written in the past was written to us for what? To teach us. The same parallel verse that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 10. He says, everything that happened to the Israelites happened as a warning and as an example. I know America's not perfect, folks. I know that. I know we've made some mistakes. Is anybody perfect in here? We can't erase our past. But we learn from our past, don't we? The same way that America has done. We learn not to do what we did, and we grow and we build off of that the same way in our individual lives. Paul said, for everything that was written down in the past was written to teach us. To teach us. Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now the key verse in these seven verses, folks, is verse 5. Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying, God has been patient with you. He has been patient with me. And in turn, we are to be patient with one another. If you're a mature Christian, then educate a lesser Christian. Don't make fun of them. Encourage that lesser Christian. Paul also said, we're not here to please ourselves, as he said in verse 2. We're here to please others. That's the part of servanthood. And what does that do to us? That gives us a unity that Wayne said in his prayer a while ago. As a nation, as a church family, all for the glory of God. Again, verse 6, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the devil had rather start a fuss among us than he had to sell 10 barrels of whiskey. He had. That's the division. That is the angle that he works. But God wants us to be unified. Unified under what? Under the lordship of his Son, Jesus, the Christ. And folks, all during this, we got the riots, we got the pandemic, the murder hornets, all of this. It is so easy to take our eyes off of the glory of God and get caught up in all of this. But we have to. We have to keep our eyes on God and know that He is in control. And we have to encourage one another. We have to encourage one another. I need patience. I need encouragement. You need patience. You need encouragement. We all need it. If you come here to worship, you're going to find a blessing. If you come to find a hypocrite, you're going to find one of them too. It all depends on what's up here and why you're coming. That's the bottom line. We all need encouragement. Encourage our elders. Encourage our ministers. Encourage our deacons. Encourage our worship leaders. Encourage our custodian. Encourage people that take part in it. Ken's great prayer this morning. Mike's wonderful lesson. Darren's talented service to God with the singing. Lost great words with presiding this morning. Encourage one another. Encourage the van drivers, the bus drivers, the tech guys up there putting all this on. Just pat them on the back. Say, I appreciate what you do. You just can't imagine what that makes and how good that makes somebody feel. Even the people that are doing security while we're sitting here feeling safe. Just tell them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. That's the ministry of encouragement. And if you're saved, you've been called to do that. The second thing that Paul tells us, he says, you're also saved for the ministry of evangelism. Look in verse 8 in chapter 15. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. Jesus came to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. Matthew 15 and verse 24 says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that verse. They think that Jesus was just sent to save the Jews, and that is not true. Jesus did not only come to save the Jewish nation, but through that Jewish nation. All other nations are blessed, including us. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 22 that salvation is of the Jews. Salvation came from a Jewish Messiah, Jesus. And then Jesus comes as an evangelist. Paul comes as an evangelist. And Jesus himself said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Look in verses 15 and 16 now. Come on down. I have written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to what? To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was an evangelist. Paul was an evangelist. The disciples were an evangelist. And if you label yourself as a Christian, you are an evangelist. That doesn't mean you have to answer every question. So many people get intimidated by talking about Jesus. They're so afraid. Well, I'm just scared to death. Somebody's going to ask me something I don't know the answer to. It's okay. You can say, I don't know. There's no sin against that. I don't know. But you can also tell them what you do know. You can tell them that also. You can tell them, let me get back with you. Every one of us is an evangelist. What is our primary purpose here on earth? Let's go to the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Let's go over there together. Matthew chapter 28. Let's just read it together. We probably need to read this every single day, just to remind us of what we are here for. Matthew chapter 28. Let's begin in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Doing what, Jesus? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what else do you want me to do, Jesus? Jesus said, I want you to teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Folks, Christianity is not a byproduct. It is the primary purpose of your life. When you accepted being a Christian, when you were baptized, your primary purpose is saving souls. Now, listen, we all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have abilities. Mike is a wonderful speaker, but that is not his primary purpose. Again, Ken led a beautiful prayer this morning. That's not his primary purpose. Darren can sing us some beautiful songs. I always have a tear when he leads the greatest command. I did this morning. It's just beautiful. Everyone in here has a talent, has a gift. That is not your primary purpose. Our primary purpose on this earth is saving souls. Saving souls. We are to use our gift to glorify God. And we do use that. But that is not our primary purpose. I may have hurt somebody's feelings right there. If I did, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What right? Listen to me. If you want, all society is throwing all of this stuff about rights. If you want a right, what right do we have to call ourselves a follower of Christ if our business is not His business? What right do we have to call ourselves a follower of Christ if our business is not His business? What was Jesus' business? Saving souls, bringing souls to the Father. We all have been saved to evangelize. Don't let somebody intimidate you from telling them about Jesus. You tell them anyway. And if they've got a question, you tell them you'll get back to them. Number three, Paul said, we also have a ministry of giving. A ministry of giving. Read with me verses 25 through 27. 25 through 27. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in what, Paul? In the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owed it to the Jews to share with them their material blessing. Here's the point. The Gentiles were in Greece, and what they did, they took up a love offering. The Gentiles took up a love offering for the Jews that were in Jerusalem. They didn't mind. They didn't mind. They were happy to do it. Why? Because they had received a spiritual blessing from the Jews, and they thought, well, what a wonderful gift. Why can't we in turn give them some of our material blessings? And that's what they did. That's what they did. Folks, all of us are in debt. I'm not talking about financial debt. I'm talking about spiritual debt. Number one, we're in debt to all the disciples that recorded these gospels for us to live by and written down. Number two, we're in debt first and foremost to Jesus. We're in debt to Jesus for the precious blood that He shed for us and for the entire world. How can that not make you want to give? How can that not make you want to give? We've been blessed so spiritually. Should we not give back something that we can't keep to begin with? That ought to make every one of us want to give. The ministries that we benefit from, they didn't fall from the sky. They were given to us by people that sacrificed and had tears in their life. Folks, there's not a tear, there's not a heartache on any of these pews here tonight, are there? Every one of us had something going on. It may not be in the middle, in our immediate family, but it ripples out. There's a heartache. There's a tear sitting on every pew. Everybody has something going on. Everybody has something going on. There was a cute little story that I heard, it's been years ago, and the guy, he makes it into heaven, and Peter's walking him around, and of course they're going down the streets of gold, and all of these mansions are built on both sides. And this guy said, "Oh, I bet, is that where I live right there?" "No, no. Yeah, that's mine. That's my house, right?" "No, no." And they keep going, and this goes on and on. He says, "Is that it?" "No." Peter says, "No." "No, no, no." And they come to this little shack. They come to this little shack, and Peter says, "There's your house. There's your house." And he said, "I don't understand. Why can't I have one of those big mansions that we just went by?" And Peter says, "Something you don't understand up here in heaven. We build your house by what you send up here." "We build your house by what you send up." And that tickled me. It just stayed with me. It stayed with me. But folks, we do. We have a calling. We are saved to the ministry of giving. Number four, the ministry of prayer. The ministry of prayer. Look in verse 30 and 31. Paul says, "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." Verse 31, "Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there." Paul wasn't afraid to ask for prayers. He wasn't so high up, one of those muckety mucks that, "Hey, I'm Paul." Paul needed prayers too. I need prayers. We all need prayers. Paul, Mike spoke about praying this morning. Praying for our leaders of this country, whether they're good leaders or not, whether they're bad leaders, whether they're leaders that you like or leaders that you don't like. What does Jesus tell us? Pray for our enemies. So many will come up with an excuse. They will come up with the excuse that, "Well, listen, I just don't know what to say to somebody to encourage them. I'm just not in that ministry of encouragement. And I don't know the Bible very well, so I'm not a very good evangelist either. And really, I mean, if you want to get down to it and know something personal about me, I'm kind of poor. So I don't really fit into that category of giving either. Number one, you can just say, hey, I appreciate you. Simple. Number two, you can tell them your story of where you were and where you are now and how Jesus saved you. Number three, you don't have to give money. You can give time. And number four, if you can't do any of them, you can pray. You can pray. You can pray. That's one thing that you can do. And prayer is a ministry. You don't pray to get ready to serve. Prayer is a service. You can do more than pray after you pray, but you really can't do much more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer is one of the ministries. Number five, the ministry of fellowship. The ministry of fellowship. Look in chapter 16, verse 1. I commend you, our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Caesarea. And then Paul goes on, and you can read. I would read them to you, but I can't pronounce all those names. But I counted them. I counted them. And there's 26 different people. 26 different people that Paul fellowships with right there. Paul was not only a soul winner, but he was a friend maker. Look at the ways. I just jotted some of these down. I want you to look at the ways that fellowship is illustrated. Verse 1, serving. Verse 2, receiving. Verse 3, greeting. Verse 4, risk or sacrifice, depending upon your translation. Verse 5, loving. Verse 6, laboring. Verse 7, honoring. Verse 9, helping. And on and on and on. How sweet it is, folks. How sweet it is for all of us to dwell together in fellowship. And I once took that for granted. I will never, ever take that for granted. I love each and every one of you. And I love coming here and worshiping God with you. And that one of the things that I did learn through this pandemic, that I had taken our fellowship. I missed y'all so bad. I did. You're just a part of my life. And then it was taken away. And I missed that. I missed that. The ministry of fellowship. Don't ever take it for granted. And the last and final thing tonight, the ministry of worship. The ministry of worship. And I think it's fitting. Yeah, we saved the best for last. As we close this study of this wonderful book of Romans. And it's the worship. The worship. And I love the way Paul words this. The Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is Jesus' total identity. A lot of people don't understand this. That is Rodney Lloyd Rochelle is my identification. There's three names to me. Now, I'm not saying somebody else don't have that same name in the world, but it's very few. The Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people, they want to pick that middle name out. Because Jesus means Savior. They don't want that Lord part because Lord means Master. And if He's a Master, that means you and I are servants. And what does a servant do? A servant obeys his master. We say what our master tells us to say. We do what our master tells us to do. We come and go when our master tells us to come and go. And then Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. What does Christ mean? Christ is Messiah. Messiah is dominion. We want the Jesus. We want the Savior. We don't want the Lord. We don't want the Master. We don't want the Messiah. We don't want the dominion. We want to just come in here and pick out Jesus. We want a Savior. but we want to continue to live our own way. It doesn't work that way, folks. You remember what Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 1? He said to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And then Paul went on to say at the end of that verse, and it's very important, he said, this is your spiritual act of worship. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God is your spiritual act of worship. And folks, this is so true. This is so true. As we close, we've called this the constitution of Christianity. Paul reminds us. He reminds us of the reason why that worship is part of the ministry. And I'm going to read. Come on down. We're in chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. And I want you to see if you don't agree. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Verse 27. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory through His Son, Jesus Christ. In the beginning of Romans, Paul showed us the bad news. And then in the middle area of Romans, he showed us the salvation, the plan of salvation. But here at the end of Romans, he shows us the news that we can use. He shows us the news that we can use, and that news is you were saved to serve. You were saved to serve. How do you do that? Simple. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. You repent from living a life for yourself and for society and for anything else but God. You turn from that. And you live your life now for God. And then you're baptized. And all of those past sins are washed away. They're washed away through the blood that Jesus shed on that cross for you and for me. What keeps you saved? Obedience. Obedience keeps you saved. We're saved by grace through faith. Obedience keeps you saved. We live an obedient life until God calls us home. If you'd like to be part of that, we encourage you tonight to do that. A fellow had a string, I'm going to close, pretend this string could go all the way to the moon and back. Okay? That's a long, call it a rope if you want to. It goes to the moon and back and 10 times, back and forth to the moon. And 2 inches, at the beginning of that 2 inches of that rope is your life. 85 to 95 years, 2 inches. And the rest is eternity, folks. The rest of that is eternity. What I'm saying is don't pass up this part. Don't live a disobedient life because this part is what's really going to matter. The rest of this rope that goes all the way to the moon and back 10 times, I don't know if that is a good explanation. Thank you. But think about that. That's eternity. And everybody is so worried about that 2 inches right there. Well, I'm going to do this right here, and then I'm going to do that right there. Put God in there. Put God right there, and then you've got the rest of this. If you'd like to do that, please come right now as together we stand.